I want to talk about joy.
Amen.
Joy is not the same thing as happiness. We've messed that all up. Joy is different. We can be happy about a lot of things and not be joyful. And while we have a lot of words in our English language, we have done poorly mixing those two things together. Joy is the natural reaction to the work of God. I'm going to say that again. Joy is the natural reaction to the work of God. It is the outgrowing of salvation. It is in part why I feel the way that I do tonight. Because I have a testimony. I know that I've been saved, and I know that I'm doing what God has told me to do. And the result of that is what? Joy. Joy. Joy overcomes bitterness. Joy overcomes anger. Joy overcomes envy, despair, anxiety, disappointment, sadness, worry, anxious. I'm probably repeating myself. Joy overcomes these emotions. Now, as I've tried to say many times in the short time we've had together, understanding I'm speaking in a nuanced way, in an important way I want you to distinguish. I'm not saying that you're never going to shed a tear again. I'm not saying you're never going to be angry or disappointed or anxious or lonely. What I'm telling you is the joy that comes from God will overcome all of that. And that anytime you have any of those negative emotions, they will be temporary and be replaced with joy. Remember, we said the other night, beauty for ashes. Scientifically, at least I think this is accurate. I saw it online, so who knows? Scientifically, you can't genuinely laugh and not smile. Now, you can force the air to come out of your, you know, diaphragm, and it sounds like a laugh and not smile, but that's not what we're really talking about. These things go together. Joy and the smile on your face. And sometimes I'm afraid we see too many brothers and sisters who have very little joy. And now, like I said, sometimes we go through periods when we don't have joy. But let's hope it doesn't last very long. And let's hope we return to the source of the one who gives us that joy. In fact, joy is what we are designed for. Amen. Romans chapter 14. You read 17 and 19. Romans chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now there's three things there, and I don't want to rush over those. Righteousness, peace, and joy. But I want to focus on joy. And what this scripture is telling us, listen to it again. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in what? In the Holy Spirit. Again, we're not joyful in ourselves. This isn't about us. It is about Him. We find our joy and our source of joy in Him. We find our righteousness not in ourselves, but in Him. We find our peace not in ourselves, but in Him. It is all about Him. joy, peace, righteousness. We find these things in him, and listen closely. These things serve Christ. You ever thought about it that way? When you're joyful around other people, you're serving the Lord. When you're conducting yourselves properly, righteously, you're serving the Lord. Joy. It is a service to the Lord. And then continue this, the next verse. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Maybe you find a stick in the mud who doesn't like it when you're joyful. But you know, most people do. So let me just ask this question. Do people wonder why you're joyful? It's a valid question. Do they know who you serve? Do they know why you're joyful? I hope so. I hope they look at you and see something different. I hope they look at you and approve of you. Why? They're like, well, I don't know about this Christian thing, but that guy's, he's really happy. He's really got joy. There's something unusual about him. Now, they're not going to use the word joy because we don't really use that word in our society very much. But they're going to say there's something about you. You're light. You're different. You're happy. You're joyful. What is it? How do you go through such hard times with such confidence and such assuredness? How do you possibly get through losing a loved one? How do you deal with all these issues? And you point back to Jesus as your source. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Now, I don't really think that's necessarily talking about anything alcoholic here, but I think the point is, it's not about the things that we put in. It's about the things that come out. Amen. It's about the things that come out of us. And joy is one of those things that the world can see. Where do we get joy from? Well, the Holy Spirit. Galatians tells us that it is a fruit of the Spirit. That means if you want more joy, you can ask for it. You ever ask for more joy? You ever ask for more patience? Probably not. You ever asked for kindness, gentleness, faithfulness? You ever asked for self-control? Oof. We should ask for all of these things. It is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. We've talked about this during this revival. It is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of us that gives us joy. And if you want more joy, you ain't got to manufacture it. You got to ask for it. Then the Holy Spirit of God will give to those who ask. I truly believe that. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Joy is in there. Our joy should be continuous. You ever think about that? We should also pray continuously. There's lots of things we should do continuously. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You could almost read that as a command. And maybe we should. We should rejoice. We should be joyful. And he tells us again, and again, I tell you to rejoice. What are some of the ways you do that? I'm in Philippians, if you didn't figure that out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he tells you how to do it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Well, how do you do that? Well, he continues to tell you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Ask yourself this week, is this what you've been doing? Or have you been putting things that are not true but false or unjust or impure. What's the opposite of lovely? I don't know. Ugly. Bad report. Unvirtuous. Nothing worthy of praise. Brothers and sisters, we put these things in our lives all the time. It's no wonder we don't express the joy that we ought to. We're not feeding ourselves what the Bible tells us that we should. So joy comes from the Holy Spirit who is inside of us. Joy is enhanced when we follow what the Lord tells us to do, which is to rejoice and to think about these lovely and beautiful things. But joy also comes from two other sources, and I want to talk about those for just a minute. 1 John 1:3 says the following: "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." Amen. That your joy may be full, that you understand where your joy comes from, that we may have fellowship with each other. It's vital that we do things like we just did for those who came a few minutes early and had dinner. It's good for us to do these things together. It's important for the youth to have gone and done a few things this week. It's so vital that we spend time together because that is part of where our joy comes from. Don't believe me? Well, 2 John, but you don't hear a lot of sermons from there. It's really short. 2 John, verse 12. He summarizes it this way: "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." Yeah. Writing somebody a letter is good, but it's not the same. Giving someone a phone call or a FaceTime is good, but it's not the same. Sending someone a text is good, but it is not the same. Brothers and sisters, if you want full joy, we need to come together. Amen. It is essential to who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. It's central to the joy that we are commanded to have, that we ought to have because of who lives inside of us, that we spend time together, that we worship together, that we sing together, that we work together, that we fellowship together, that we eat together. All of these things should be done together because pen and paper and texting and phones and emails, none of it compares to being in person and together for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's essential. I know that there are some who cannot come to church. I understand this. If you are physically able to come, you need to come. And this is a fine church to come to, by the way. You need to be with God's people to encourage your joy and to make it full. You will not get the same thing watching church on TV.
Right.
You won't. And I get that some people have to do that. You will not get the same experience listening to the audio of this later as you will when you are here. God works when we are together, and God makes our joy full and complete. Amen. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And that is both for the preaching of the word, but it's also, again, for the worship and the food and everything else that we do. Amen. How do we do this? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're like, well, I don't really know how to be joyful. And maybe you're just not joyful tonight. Maybe you got forced to be here. That's true for some of you. Maybe you got drug along or guilt tripped into it. Maybe you want to be here, but you had a little too many desserts and you're having a hard time. So let me give you some helpful tools. Turn with me to the book of John, not 1st or 2nd John, but the actual Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I promise we'll stay here for just a minute as we come to a conclusion. John chapter 15 gives us instruction for how to live our lives. John chapter 15, one of the unique things about the Gospel of John is it's almost entirely about 2 weeks before Jesus Christ is crucified on the cross. So these are literally, even though it's in chapter 15, some of his last and final words to his disciples, which translate directly to us. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful book to read, not only because of the way it is masterfully written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but because it directly speaks to God's people in a way that is a little different from some of the other Gospels and very different from most of the other parts of the Bible. John chapter 15 gives us an incredible picture to try and understand. And I want to spend a few minutes tonight looking at this. I'm going to read it through and then you'll understand why. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Well, I'm going to pause there. I won't be able to get through all this. Listen, that means someone who takes care of the vine. Okay? Nobody knows what that means anymore. The person takes care of the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Here's where it gets good. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Remember the fruit we're talking about. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. As my Father has loved me, so I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I don't know how to describe this other than just imagine Jesus telling you this, because that's what he's doing. He is telling you the key to survive as a believer. His word has already made you whole, as it says in verse 3. If you are a Christian and you are a believer and you have been saved, then this chapter applies directly to you. And he is saying to you very clearly, your job is to bear fruit, to grow, to produce fruit. Goodness, patience, faithfulness, joy, long-suffering, all of those fruits of the Holy Spirit, but you cannot do it by yourself. If you cut a branch off of a tree, it's not going to continue to grow fruit. It's going to wither and to be thrown away. The only way that you can possibly to grow fruit, the only way that you can produce the things that God wants you to have, the only way, dare I say, you have true peace and true joy and true patience and long-suffering, etc., is to stay with God. Him, to abide is that word. That means to be joined together. Yes. The branch of a tree has to draw its nutrition from the rest of the tree. It cannot do it on its own. How many of us try to do it on our own? How many of us face hard times and think, well, I'm just going to have to change my attitude? Or someone tells you, well, you just shouldn't feel that way. Well, that's not helpful. Thank you. I know I shouldn't feel this way. I know I shouldn't be bitter about whatever, or I shouldn't be disappointed about, but I feel this way. Okay, what do you do about it? You go to Jesus. You go to the Word of God. You grow and abide with Him. You allow Him to live into you so that you can experience His joy. Because it's not about me. So many brothers and sisters, listen closely, try to do it on their own. We are made to be together. We are made to be a part of a body of believers together. That means in a church. I truly, truly, truly believe this. You should be a member of a local church. Now, I'm going to expand that too, because I believe this as well. You should have Christian friends outside of church too. I'm very thankful for a dear brother of mine in Christ who I work with. I'm thankful for other brothers in Christ who I have purposely chosen to work with, in part because I know that they're believers. And we can have some fellowship this way, and we can love and pray for each other. Listen, we should be abiding together and ultimately abiding in Christ. And if we decide to leave or think we can do it on our own or think we're better off if we separate from this, I think you're wrong. Abide in me and I in you. My words abide in you. You shall ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. That's a big promise. You ever thought about that much? You know who has thought about this recently? People under 25. Do you know who hasn't thought about this in a long time? People over 25. Do you know why? Because the people who are under 25 are trying to figure out, what does that possibly mean and how do I do it? And the people who are over 25 have given up on it. You know why both of you are wrong? If you're abiding in Him, you're only going to ask for what He knows you already need. Does that make sense? The Bible says in another place, you ask, and you ask amiss because you ask to consume it upon your desires. God's not going to give you $1 million if you pray for it. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is my desire will be redirected to be something that glorifies Him, and He is literally wanting to give that to me. Does that make sense? It's a whole mind shift difference that we don't understand what God is actually telling us. Yes, He will give us whatever it is that we ask for, but my desire better be aligned with His. Amen. It's not about, can I convince God to do what I want? It's about whether I do what He wants me to do. It's two different things, two different angles to come from it. Okay, that wasn't where I was trying to go. If you keep my commandments and abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Listen, we talked about this morning. The only way Jesus Christ was successful was to keep His Father's commandments, to stay close to Him. Why did Jesus pull away all the time and pray? Because He had to stay close to His Father. Because He had to do what His Father wanted Him to do. Think about this. How many more people could He have healed if only He wasn't so stingy and just worked harder and hadn't prayed so much? That wasn't what was important. What was important was that He stay abiding close to His Father so that He could do His ultimate will, you see? And that meant that some people didn't get healed physically. But because He was obedient, everyone can be healed spiritually, right? Do you see the difference there? He was obedient to His Father. Now, I just want to really highlight this last part. These things have I spoken unto you, what He just got done saying in probably the first, at least chapter 14. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. There is a joy that Jesus Christ can give us that is different than anything else. That joy we cannot manufacture. That joy can come from nothing else we receive in life other than from Him. He is the only giver of it. He wants to give us His joy that it might remain in us. What a blessing. Everything else in life is transactional. I work and the place I work at pays me. It's a transaction. God doesn't work that way. His joy is what He wants to give you, that it remains in you. And then He goes on and says, and that your joy might be full. As I come to a conclusion, I want to ask you, or I want to make a point first, and then I'll ask you a couple questions. Joy is something we choose. God gives us free will. He gives us free will to deny Him and never be saved. After we've been saved, He continues to give us free will. We can choose after the fact to abide in Him or not to. We really can. We can choose to be joyful. And I don't mean fake joyful. I mean when we have abided in Him and a tragedy beyond all tragedy strikes our house at 2 a.m., we can choose to have joy. That means when we're at work and we don't get the promotion, or we're at school and we don't get the grade, or someone steals something from us or harms us, we can choose joy. That doesn't mean we're just flippantly running around smiling, oh, giggling, always happy. What it means is deep down inside, I can go back to His joy. And I can say, Jesus, I need Your joy today because mine's not full. Because I've had a bad day. Because I don't like this situation. Be honest with God. He knows what you're thinking already. So quit hiding behind that. And just tell Him, hey, I'm not feeling very joyful today and I really need it. I'm really upset that this thing happened. I can't believe that I've lost this person in my life or this has happened to me. I need to find Your joy. Jesus, where is Your joy? And I truly believe that He will give it to you. So joy is a choice. It's a choice. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians not to quench the Spirit. Now, I've heard that verse, right? What does it mean to quench? It means to put out, to dampen. If I was to quench a candle, I'd put something wet over top of it or heavy so it can't breathe, and I suffocate it and the fire goes out. I've quenched it. We can do that to the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Through sin. That's clearly the first. The second is failure to be obedient. Now, what spirit are we talking about? Remember the spirits, fruits that I said, peace, joy, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, all those fruits that God wants to give us, we can quench that and say, nah, it's okay. You ever done that in your life? Think carefully. Take a moment and think about that. You ever had a time in your life when God's trying to bring joy into your life and you just refuse? You know who we see it the most in? Little tiny children. Not super tiny, but like not real big either. And they're just like, I'm not going to be happy no matter what. I don't care. I don't want to be here. How often do we act like little children who are spoiled? No offense to our little children here, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, I know I wanted to go here for my birthday, but I didn't want it this way. And we look at them as adults, we're like, come on. How often does God look at us and be like, is this not good enough for you? Am I not enough for you? Are you just going to stand there and choose to be angry and bitter and upset and disappointed? Or are you going to choose joy? Are you going to choose me? Because we have that choice in our lives. Christ chose to be joyful. I read this morning. I think I read it once or other. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice it didn't say run the race you choose or run the direction you want. There's a course set before us and we're supposed to run it. Sometimes it's uphill. But we can still have joy, right? Sorry. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of you have missed the fact that Jesus found it all joy to die for you? Have you picked that up before? Oh, we think about all the horrible pain that He went through, and that's right to think about. We think about the fact that the night before He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's praying. He said, Lord, if there's any other way, let this pass. And God's answer was clearly what? You are the only way. You know. You must continue forward. And he said, your will. And he bore the punishment that I deserve, that you deserve, on that cross. He allowed them to lay his arms out and to be driven with nails, to be raised up, brutally beaten, naked before all mankind. We only show you the G-rated version in church, but trust me, he didn't have a nice little cloth around him. Exposed for everyone to look at. Ridiculed, cursed, hated by men, angry. No doubt, it was not a pretty picture. And he said it was joyful for me to do it. Why did he have joy? Because he thought about you. Because he knew that by his sacrifice, that by him receiving the penalty of sin, by forcing his heavenly Father, as it says in Isaiah, to look away from him because he could not look on your sin, it gave him joy to know that you and him would be reunited. Amen. And we walk around as Christians. Oh, woe is us. Nobody goes to church anymore. What are we talking about? Jesus died for me. Amen. Jesus died for you. That's his joy that he will give us. And what are we going to do? We're going to take it to everyone else, and nobody's going to despise us for having joy. Why? Because joy is a good thing. The world wants what you have. Trust me. Amen. They're going to tell you they don't, but they secretly do. That's why they hate us so much. Seriously. It's because they want what we have. And we got to tell them what we have. We got to show them the joy that comes from Jesus Christ. If he went to the cross for joy for me, listen, whatever kind of bad day I'm having, doesn't even compare. Here's the thing, and I'll come to a close. If you've never been saved, you've never experienced that joy. Amen. Oh, you've been happy. I mean, from time to time, you've had a joy. Just like you've had some self-control and you've had peace and these other things. But you haven't had what I'm talking about. You haven't had true joy because it only comes from him, you see. He is the author of it. It is the fruit of his Spirit. It is what dwells inside of us when we abide with him. And when God takes away our sins, he puts in peace and joy. And so if you've never been saved, you've never experienced that joy, you really need to. I'm going to come to an end, and I'm going to promise this time I'm not going to say another word, and I'm going to let you finish, okay? So get ready. I know not everybody's been here every sermon. I've got the little flyers. You can listen to them later online. But bear with me for just a minute. We met the first day. We talked about King Asa's revival. How he took away the idols and restored the altar. And what instruction we should take from that is he did the work. We got to work, church. And then we talked about the other brother. There's two prodigal sons. One who was wicked and one who was mostly good but was still defiant to his father. And they both need to be saved. I don't know which one you are. We talked about getting a new heart. To take the heart of rock and stone and make it a heart of flesh. To receive a new heart, to get rid of the old one, is when you actually become alive. You can't revive something that's never been alive before. And until God saves you, you cannot be revived. You must be made new. and the Holy Spirit gets placed in you at the same time. That's the new heart. We tried to explain, we labored to say, what are we saved from? Eternal separation with God. And at the same time, we answer the question, what are we saved for? A relationship with God.
Amen.
That starts now and continues and continues and gets better and better at the end. We said that this is the acceptable year, the time when Jesus Christ said, I am, and proclaimed to be the one who would come and take away the sins of the world. We talked about the new name that you will receive, a name that nobody knows yet. But for those of us who are saved in the crowd of millions of people, and he reads a name, I think you'll know your name instantly.
Oh, yes.
I'm looking forward to that. I had a brother add to me, or I guess it was my daughter actually, who said to me, won't it be fun to get to tell each other our new names? Think about that for a minute. I'll be looking for a few people. I'm like, hey, you know so-and-so? Oh, that's not his name anymore. Because that sinful name is gone. We talked about looking up. The challenge in our society that keeps us focused down rather than looking unto Jesus. And that being necessary both for salvation, to look at the man who's been crucified on the cross, just as the bronze serpent taught us. But in our lives in general, we need to be looking up to see what he does so that we can do the same thing. And today we're talking about joyfulness. I didn't plan this, just so you know. There was nothing written down before we started. This is where the Lord took me for a reason for you.
Amen.
And for me. Because I am saved, brothers, I have been revived.
Amen.
Here's my charge to the church as we come to a close. Church, and by that I mean believers who are attending here, and to this church in particular, his church body, abide in him. Draw your strength and joy from him. Think about him as the good things, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things of good report. Abide in him. Number two, fellowship with each other. And then the lost world will see your joy and they'll know it's contagious.
Absolutely.
You want more people to join your church? Show them your joy. Point them to Jesus, but show them your joy. And if you have joy from the right source, they're going to know where it came from. Because you're going to tell them. Church, abide in them. Abide in him. Fellowship with each other to show the world your joy. That is my prayer. That is my desire. I think that is scripturally God's desire for us as well. I hope that you will leave this place revived. I hope that someone who needs to come alive the first time will do so. I pray that the Lord moves in your life. Let me give you a benediction from the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Brother, I'll let you.